Hi everyone, and good morning to all. I hope you've been having a fantastic service with us this morning. You know, today we're looking at the fifth and sixth Beatitudes, otherwise known as blessings, that Jesus listed out at the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. So far, Jesus has called those who are following him to pay attention to being poor in spirit. He's talking about those who mourn will be blessed, but also those who are meek will be blessed as well. And then the last thing we looked at last week was those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, we are now in the second half of the Beatitudes, and we are now going to be shifting, as Jesus shifts in his in the list of Beatitudes, and he focuses now his attention on our one another relationships, if I may say. The first four pretty much spoke primarily about our connection to God, all right? You know, viewing ourselves as spiritually indebted toward God, mourning over the sin in our lives that reflect the spiritual poverty that we're supposed to have, and also having a meek posture as a result of our spiritual poverty as we take Jesus's yoke on us. We see that in Matthew chapter 11. And as we reflect these things, or on these three things, our only choice now is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, that Jesus will go on to describe, of course, as he goes into his Sermon on the Mount. You know, I hope you can see the progression here that Jesus is bringing thus far. Now, our Lord moves to our attention to the issue of our one another interactions. And he goes on in verse 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." You know, mercy is a huge subject in our day to day, isn't it? You know, in the world today, mercy is one of those things that keeps coming up over and over again. It's one of those themes that you always see in a movie, if so to speak. You know, mercy is defined as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. You know, we can find the cry for mercy in all aspects of our lives, can't we? From our one another relationships. When you think about it, there is an ebb and flow that happens. And there are times when we may have done things to someone who we love or close to, and we need mercy. We want them to be merciful towards us because we made a mistake, or the tables could turn and they have done something to us and they're asking for our mercy as well. Maybe it's on your job. You know, when you think about it, you have either your boss man or a superior whom you might want mercy from or need mercy from, or it could be someone underneath you in the job, right? That's is asking you to show mercy to them. How about walking down the street and just looking at those who are less fortunate? Maybe someone comes and asks you for money and they're asking you to have mercy on them for whatever reason they are in need. You know, on our nation's roads even, right? I mean, we know what it's like if you're a driver to get a bad drive from someone and then your spirits want to lash back at that person. Maybe it's to give them back a bad drive, you know? Or maybe you have an opportunity to pay them back in whatever way, form or fashion, you know? But mercy is one of those things that comes up. But how about in our families? You know, I find that this is the one area that is so consistent, because when you think about it, family know how to push your buttons, don't they? Yeah. You know, but we also know how to push our family members' buttons, don't we? And this is where mercy is needed in a great way as well. You know, it is not clear who Jesus is speaking about, but from his life, we see the example of compassion and mercy for all around him. The sick, the destitute, enemies even, and evil doers. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was presented with a question that made it necessary to explain in greater lengths what he really meant by this beatitude: blessed are the merciful. You know, I really appreciate Peter asking this question of Jesus, because it's one of those questions that, you know, you want to ask it, right? But you don't want to be the one. You're hoping that somebody else asks the question so you can get the answer. But Peter was one of those guys who didn't hold things back. He asked questions. And in the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18, we're going to read that now. But it starts with the question that Peter asks Jesus. And it reads, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?'" Up to seven times? He asked. In verse 22, Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. The truth is, when translated, it actually means 70 times seven. Right? I find this to be very probing, because the question that I ask myself is, who's counting? You know, in verse 23, it continues, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' Servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." Now, wait. Let's just pause here for a minute, right? This situation, it deserves a pause. Why? Because we don't just see a master saying, "Okay, I will pause on the execution of your sentence for the fact that you've not paid me back." He has said, "Okay, I've wiped your debt clean." Wow. You know, maybe you've been at the mercy of the bank at some point in time during this period of time. But we've heard of instances where the banks were giving out some sort of leeway, or allowing you an opportunity to hold on your payments for a few months, right? But nowhere in that contract did Mr. Banker say, "Well, we cancel your debt." I mean, think about it. Imagine if your bank, whatever name they are, came to you or sent you an email and said to you, "All right, we've gotten your email. We realize that you're under some pressure, COVID and whatever different things going on. Forget it. You see the house that you owe all this money, this $100,000+ on? We'll take care of that. Take it easy. Don't worry yourself. House is yours. We cancel the debt." You know, this is what this guy just received. Wow. Let's go on. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.'" Wow. You would think he'd remember being in that very same position not too long ago, right? In verse 30, it goes on, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Wow. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Wow. You know, mercy runs very deep. It pulls on the heartstrings and causes us to dig deep into our very souls even. You know, but Jesus is calling us all to not only have mercy for the sake of being nice, but for our own sake in the end. We'll go back to this beatitude at the end, but we continue in verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Jesus continues, you know, for us to fully appreciate what Jesus is speaking to, it is important to make the connection between the inner self, which is our heart, and the outward. In other words, our actions. You know, the first beatitude, which is poor in spirit, speaks to the kind of poverty we should have before God, right? We need to be poor in spirit. The sixth beatitude here is pure in heart, which speaks to the kind of purity we ought to have. You know, if our hearts are pure, it will be evident to those around us. This is a central theme throughout the Beatitudes. You know, Jesus is focusing on the heart, you know, how we project towards him and now how we project towards others. You know, we must look at the inside first, is what he's saying. You know, this was at the heart of Jesus's beef with the Pharisees of the day. They cleaned the outside of the cup, but the inside was not clean. It was like whitewashed tombs, actually, he called them, right? They were like filthy rags on the inside. You know, God is calling us to look deep into our hearts this morning and to be transparent with what we see. In other words, what do you see inside there? From this, we are compelled to be sincere about who we really are on the inside. That's the kind of sincerity that Jesus is talking about, the kind of purity that he wants us to have. You know, when was the last time you confessed your sin of pride? Or being judgmental, maybe even evil thoughts towards someone else. You know, John Stott says in his commentary on the Beatitudes, he says, "The pure in heart have their whole lives, and public and private, transparent before others. Their very heart, including their thoughts and motives, is pure, unmixed with anything devious, ulterior, or base." In Psalm 24, a psalm of David, I want you to pay attention to David's language here. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. You know, by David's account, the idea of having a clean heart is not an option. You know, it is a must, brothers and sisters. You know, this comes from a clear acknowledgement of God Almighty being the most powerful, having dominion over the earth and all in it, including the universe. You know, we end today by returning to the fifth beatitude in preparation for the taking of the communion. You know, the theme of mercy is at the heart of the cross and suffering of our Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, the central theme here is prayer, right? And Jesus is not just teaching his disciples what to say when they pray, but the kind of heart they must have or strive to have while doing it. You know, he ends this portion of teaching on prayer after reciting the famous Our Father prayer, saying in verse 14, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." You know, these words of Jesus can either be life-giving this morning to you or condemning. You know, today, if you are struggling with the issue of forgiveness or forgiving, please get help. Start by going to your Father in prayer, asking God, "Help me to figure this out. Help me. Give me a heart that is forgiving again." You know, if you are not a Christian this morning, then you need to understand that the burden of unforgiveness is one that Jesus can help you with. He can help to remove that load off of your back. You know, you will need to surrender everything to Him in response to Him having given up everything for you already. You know, this we celebrate as we reflect on the sacrifice Jesus made for us all to have a chance to repent and be forgiven of our sins and nail to the cross our old heart of unforgiveness and give us a new heart of mercy. So I encourage us to go to God and ask Him to help us in this area. Amen. So as we take the bread and the fruit of the vine, let us reflect on Jesus's mercy toward us, because we all know that the price that He paid on that cross is the mercy that we needed, because our sins is what He nailed on that cross, and allow for us to have an opportunity today to be able to be reconciled to God, our Father in heaven. Amen. Let us pray this time as we prepare our hearts for the communion. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that your grace is sufficient and your mercy, God, has found us. We thank you again for the death of your Son, Jesus. We thank you so much for his sacrifice. This morning, as we take the bread and we drink the juice, wherever we are in our homes, God, help us to find a way to quiet ourselves at this point in time and really ponder on the mercy that we have all received. And Father, may that mercy well up in us, not just a desire, but a conviction that, Father, we too will give mercy back to others. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity. It is through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, before we take the bread and the juice, we're going to have a song at a few seconds. But I want us to take a little time just to quiet ourselves. Just sit in silence and ponder the mercy of our Lord. And try to remember the price that He paid so that you can receive His mercy. And then when the song begins, you can take the emblems. Okay? Amen.